This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The president makes his way to El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, and a suspect's mom raised concerns to police before the shooting. Yikes, that's a huge story and one that has really enraged a lot of people. Kate Delaney, that's where we are in this country right now. A lot of conversation about mass shootings and being more aware of your surroundings and what to do in an active shooter situation. And I think we're way beyond that when, you know, my nephew was 5 and he was learning those drills and now he's 17. So it shows you how long we've been dealing with this. And I'll tell you, the tragedies, both unique in different ways, but equally as heinous. And now the fact that you've got the El Paso suspect's mother saying she did call the police to say she was concerned about the gun. She was worried about her son owning the weapon because of his age, she said, maturity level, and lack of experience handling it. During the calls, she was transferred to a public safety officer who told her that based on her description of the situation, her 21-year-old son was legally allowed to purchase the weapon. The mother didn't give her name or her son's name, and the police didn't seek any kind of other information from her before the call concluded. It's not known whether the gun the mother asked about is the weapon that was used in the attack. The shooter, of course, is Patrick Crucis, the alleged shooter, and it was the Allen Police Department. They didn't have any other reports documenting the call from the mother, but according to the family's attorneys, the mother's inquiry was informal and was motivated out of concern that her son posed a threat. Was not motivated out of concern that her son posed a threat to anyone. It wasn't about that. It wasn't like alarm bells were going off, but he was somebody who was confused about his path in life, and he was considering transferring to another school, a 4-year university, enlisting in the military, looking for a full-time job. He didn't know what he was going to do next. Unfortunately, he went to El Paso, found a Walmart, and killed 22 people and injured more than 24 others. So now he's charged with capital murder, being held without bond at the El Paso County Detention Center. And it wasn't about that for the trip. For Donald Trump, the trip for Donald Trump was about seeing the people in the hospital. And I always think that's a good idea when the leader of the free world, and they should always do this, makes a trip and goes to whatever hospital it is, wherever they are. I think that's vitally important. It's just that it's just a confidence build for the people who are still in shock, to be honest. And when the president showed up, there was no, he wasn't in front of mics. He wasn't talking about it. He was in and out. And there were people that were not happy with his trips, and they were protesting and whatnot. But he wasn't so much in that line of sight. It was more about burrowing in and going to the hospital in Dayton and in El Paso, and the conversation about what happens next happens really when everybody comes back from recess, because Mitch McConnell, certainly Senate-wise, is not calling anyone back in to have these conversations. That's going to have to happen after the recess. There was no recess with the ICE agents arresting 680 people across Mississippi, a massive raid. In fact, the largest single state immigration enforcement action, period. I've talked about my trip, the Border Patrol, twice along the border and what I saw and how, I don't want to say it was shocking because I knew it was going to be eye-opening, and it was. And, you know, my last trip with them, I think it was like a decade ago, and now imagine what this is like. But this wasn't about rounding people up at borders, any of that kind of thing. This was about targeting industries that had known illegal people working for them, and it was the Coke Foods processing plant in Morton, Mississippi. So you had the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers that just swept through the workplace, rounded up the undocumented workers, put them in the plastic cuffs. About 700 people were arrested in all. And it was completely organized. Got onto buses for men and women. They even had food that was prepared to go out through. Okay, here's the food line. Go on the buses. You know, that whole thing. Now, a spokesperson for ICE, because this is the concern with children, they said they asked the people that they rounded up if they had any children who were at school or childcare and needed to be picked up. Cell phones were also available to detainees so they could make arrangements for childcare. Schools were contacted when the raids started, so they were aware there could be childcare issues and knew who to contact if the parents didn't pick up their kids. So ICE raided 7 work sites in 6 Mississippi cities on Wednesday. Hundreds of people, like I said, 700, that were undocumented. Largest single state workplace enforcement action in our history. At least in the last 10 years, we know that for sure. And it's part of that investigation into illegal employment in the state. They're targeting others. They're looking at others. So they're looking at work sites for people who came to the country who are getting these opportunities, and they know, especially in these bigger situations, where they can go, and that's exactly, I think, what happened here. But, well, it did happen. They investigated, they knew, and then they targeted, and then they executed it, and they were pretty thorough about, okay, what bases haven't we covered? What else do we need to cover? Like the child care scenario was another one of them. This is the craziest thing of all. While we're watching the pieces fall with funerals and everything that's happened in El Paso and Dayton, and then the president visiting those in the hospital, in Toronto, 2 men suspected of killing 3 people in remote areas of British Columbia were found dead next to a river in Manitoba. They had this widespread manhunt. 3 people who just happened to cross the paths with these teenagers. An American woman, her Australian boyfriend, that was the sad story, and an unrelated man from Vancouver, and then these two guys, an 18-year-old and 19-year-old, were on the run. There was a huge search. The Canadian authorities were everywhere trying to find them. Such a remote place. And it led them to the town of Gillam. So remote, it has one road in and out. And that's where they were trying to corner them. Oh, just a bizarre twist of bad luck for the people who ran into them. And, I mean, they really crisscrossed from all the way from British Columbia all the way to Gillam, which is by Manitoba. If you looked at a map, it would be like going from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. And for the people in Canada, our friends to the north, it was chilling. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police kept finding things linked to the teens. And then finally they found them in the river in Manitoba. Wow. Crazy. Coming up next, it is about the numbers in this different version of We Can Count. Meet you on the flip side.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
You've got your third governor in less than a week. Yeah, they can't seem to pick them right. We think we have it bad. So Justice Secretary Wanda Vazquez Garcet was sworn in. And boy, the financial problems, the political troubles on that island are now being definitely documented. It was the unanimous decision by the Supreme Court throughout last week's swearing in of the attorney Pedro Pierluisi on the grounds that he hadn't been confirmed as Secretary of State by both chambers of commerce. So it continues. We'll see if this sticks or not. But boy, that is quick movement, isn't it? Let's see, who's going to be in charge today? I'm not sure. I mean, and it's actually very serious because they're dealing with so much in Puerto Rico, still trying to pick up the pieces after that hurricane, which was over well over a year ago. This is some breaking news that happened. A series of stabbings and robberies in SoCal left at least four people dead, two injured. That happened late on Wednesday. The police arrested a 33-year-old man who randomly attacked in a span of 2 hours in Garden Grove in Santa Ana. His motive was, they don't know, robbery, anger, hate. He's saying all kinds of crazy things. He went into a 7-Eleven store. Police arrested him at the 7-Eleven store where he disarmed and killed a security guard. And they say they know that he was full of anger. He harmed a lot of people. Wow. And first they responded to this burglary report, didn't find anyone. And, you know, then heard that he had stabbed a woman several times in the back at an insurance business. What in the world is going on? Then there was two male stabbing victims. One died on a balcony. The other died in a hospital. also slashed a man. I don't even want to go on anymore with this. Slashed a man at a gas station. Wow. Just random. Just random and spewing whatever, saying he was angry, he was hate, whatever. But four people dead, two others injured. Terrible, terrible news with that one. I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news. Oof. But it is what's happening, and this is the beauty of the show. You're up to date. You are up to date with the latest, for sure. I've talked about streaming. In fact, I talked about it a little bit on this show if you were listening earlier. But Disney and Hulu and ESPN, they have bundled things up. And what does that mean? It means, remember when TV, there was like three channels, and you had rabbit ears or whatever when I was a little girl? And I don't even know what the bill was. The bill was nothing. Now the bill is $200, $300, everything's bundled up. So Hulu, and then ESPN, and then the other, and then you add it all up together, and, you know, what do you get? Of course, you get more charges on your bill, but they say they're pulling those together because of the binge-watching content, that they're putting them together because, okay, there's your kids' stuff. Then when the kids go to sleep, then you can watch sports or you can watch stuff on Hulu. So we have you covered. We're giving you all of this in one. You've got 8,000 Disney, Pixar, Marvel, all of that, National Geographic movies, Frozen, The Incredibles, Little Mermaid. So you get the kids with the popcorn, they fall asleep, you put them to bed, and then you right away flip on ESPN or Hulu. You just automatically switch gears, and that's what they're saying. It's the perfect bundle because you'll actually save money. But I think, to me, when you get down to it, it's crazy how much money we end up paying for. I know bundling can save, but it's crazy how much money we end up paying for all of it. So, again, this is We Can Count. I'm Kate Delaney, and we're talking about numbers because I think the world revolves around numbers. We see numbers in everything that we do. Burger King wants to be number one in the burger world, so they're trying. They announced this meatless vegan burger that's available at 7,000 locations for a limited time, and it started on the 8th. So you can get delivery. That's so crazy. Deliver my fast food. Now I'm even lazier. DoorDash. I don't care if it costs me an extra buck or two. Will you please deliver it? So they started to pilot it in St. Louis and some other areas. And I know I mentioned something about that, to see if a meat-free option would work. So that if somebody was vegan, then you could still all go eat at Burger King. So kids aren't just kings. Adults are kings, too. And they say it's really... It has already appealed to a lot of people. A lot of people. Not even vegans. They don't have to be vegans, but they like it. And it's the Impossible Whopper. $5.59. And somewhere in there. Flame grilled to perfection. And maybe that's the difference. I mean, what does it taste like flame grilled? It's a plant-based item. And it must taste good. I mean, if they're selling them, if it's meatless and plant-based, I guess they have to, the Impossible Whopper, they just have to make sure people realize. And they're offering other things like that so that people aren't left out. It's kind of smart if they realize, and this is true, right? How many of you have friends that are vegans and you're not? But you have that argument of where to eat, and now there doesn't have to be limitations on where you can eat. You just don't have to go somewhere and get a salad if you happen to be vegan, right? You can go to places like Burger King and get that option in instead. Yeah, why not? All right, here's something that I thought was pretty interesting in my travels. I looked at this. There's this terrible story of the U.S. travel warnings. And Amnesty International is issuing a warning about traveling to the U.S. because of the gun violence. When was the last time that happened? The travel advisory that was issued Wednesday afternoon calls for visitors to exercise caution and have emergency contingency plans when traveling throughout the U.S. It warns travelers to be vigilant at all times to avoid places where large groups congregate, including places of worship, school, nightclubs, all locations that have recently been targeted. So this is Amnesty International putting the U.S. on their list of where should you avoid. And it's, you know, they even said, because I read it, avoid places of worship, schools, shopping malls. Wow. And this is after the Venezuelan government, of all people, issued a statement telling their citizens to postpone their trips to the U.S. because of the acts of violence, and then listing the most dangerous cities. Wow. Well, if you do travel and you go from the United States to, oh, I don't say Rome, they have these Spanish steps in Rome. And people used to go on these, and they're beautiful, and people used to go and sit on the steps. But now there's this ordinance that just took effect where you can't sit on the Eternal City's most famous and photographed spots, these steps. So now this ordinance stipulates that sitting, eating, or drinking on these protected steps can result in fines, $450. It also applies to other protected places like the Trevi Fountain. They say they've been enforcing the rules at the Spanish steps since it went into effect. But until this week, police officers dressed in yellow vests were seen telling people to get up. So now they're saying, okay, now we're not telling you, now that's it. You're done if you sit down. That it's a shame, but that's because there's so many tourists. So many tourists go in, and it's kind of like when I go into a Panera, and if you're meeting someone at Panera, just be warned, you might have to eat outside. Every Panera I go into, if it's at a breakfast time or lunch time, somebody's there with a computer. It is their office, and you're not going to find a seat. Limited seating. And that's just what I found. Limited seating, so sorry. And you got to go eat in your car. That's just what it is. So now on these steps, in all seriousness, if you went to Rome, you'd want to take those shots, those iconic shots. But you couldn't do it. You would get hit with it. You'd get hit with that fine. Yikes. And then finally, arson has hit three separate Hawaii hotels this week. Honolulu police are investigating. Wow. A blaze on Monday, wildfire, caused $1.8 million in damage. 25-story Waikiki Beachcomber by Outrigger. I was just right near there when I was in Hawaii back in April. They're saying that fire was just awful. So arson in a couple of different places. The Hilton at the Hawaiian Village also hit, too. Terrible for anybody who's visiting. A once-in-a-lifetime thing, and that happens. Yikes. Stay with us.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Busy day for President Trump as he was in Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas. The president touring both sites where mass murders took place over the weekend. The president visited with recovering victims and thanked first responders. Agents with Immigration and Customs Enforcement nabbed 600 illegal aliens in a coordinated sting operation across seven food processing plants in Mississippi. The raids taking place in small towns around Jackson, where Latinos make up a majority of the workforce. Mike Hurst, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Mississippi.
The United States of America is the greatest nation in the history of the world. And it's no wonder that people from around the world want to come here to our country. But while we do welcome folks from other countries, they have to follow our laws. They have to abide by our rules. They have to come here legally, or they shouldn't come here at all.
USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It is National HIV Testing Day. There's new information that's out that certainly is going to show you that there is still an urgent need to scale up HIV testing to end the epidemic. And some people are saying, what are you talking about? Yes, while you were sleeping, there were some things that were happening. And the CDC has that data that shows most Americans have never had even an HIV test. So we're pleased to welcome to the show Janet Cleveland, Deputy Division Director over Prevention Programs in the CDC's Division of HIV AIDS Prevention. Janet, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be able to talk with you today on this very important day as we talk about this new CDC data that's been released that, as you've already said, underscores the need, the urgent need to scale up HIV testing.
Let's talk about some of that information, because the information, I have to be honest, Janet, it just blew me away. I feel like I'm a person who keeps up with statistics, but boy, I didn't realize just where we were. So tell people some of those statistics.
Well, approximately 38,000 people in this country are being diagnosed with HIV as recently as 2017. Approximately 1 million people are living with HIV here in the United States. So there's clearly a need for us to continue to identify those 15% of that 1 million that do not know that they might have acquired HIV and they may not have been tested for it as well. With the data that are being released today, we know that approximately 40% of people in the U.S. who should have been tested for HIV have not been tested for HIV. I think something that most people don't know as well is that the CDC since 2006 has recommended that all persons ages 13 to 64 before, be screened at least once in their lifetime for HIV. But for people who may have additional risk factors, who may be at a higher risk for acquiring HIV, we recommend that they should be tested at least annually, if not every 3 to 6 months, if it's from a population that is very much affected by HIV, such as men who have sex with men. So we want people to know that HIV testing is now easier than it has ever been before. We know that these numbers make a difference, but we know that we have an opportunity to make differences in terms of people's lives if they know what their status is. And I can talk a little bit more about that as well.
Yeah, wow. You know, I'm sitting here thinking that 13 to 64, and for everybody listening, at least once in your life to be tested for that. And why is that? Because there are probably some people saying, well, I've had the same partner, or I've been married for X amount of years, so why would I be in that group? And what would you say to that?
Well, you know, it's like having a baseline, if you will. Sure, people may be in monogamous relationships, but, you know, were they always monogamous? It's just good to know in terms of your sexual health in general, you know, what your status is. We always say this is like knowing what your cholesterol numbers are or knowing what your blood pressure is. Everyone needs to know that. But then if you are in a monogamous relationship, you have trust that you and your partner truly are monogamous and that you're not participating in any high-risk activities, then that baseline is pretty, you know, that's a pretty safe thing to go with. But again, if you have multiple partners, if you're a person who injects drugs, if you share needles, if there are other risk factors that makes you at risk for HIV, you need to be tested, you know, more frequently. And again, it should be a routine part of healthcare. This is not a way to shame people or to stigmatize people. It really is about knowing what your health status is. And your health status and everything about your health should be inclusive of what your status is in terms of HIV.
Yeah. Jana, what is something that a lot of people don't know about HIV testing?
Well, I think that what's most important is that, because I think people are often afraid about HIV testing, but people need to know that it's a gateway to protecting their health. And so if a person has a negative test, that's a powerful way to be able to be exposed to new prevention tools that we have in our prevention toolbox, such as pre-exposure prophylaxis, commonly called PrEP. PrEP is a pill that you can take once a day that, much like a birth control pill, if you will, that helps protect you from acquiring HIV. Now, we still think that it's important to use condoms along with PrEP because condoms are going to help protect you from other sexually transmitted infections. PrEP is for HIV when one partner is with another partner who has HIV and doesn't want to acquire, of course, HIV from that individual. But then if the person receives a positive test, we know now that life expectancy is so much longer than what it was in the early days of HIV. If a person has a positive test, that person can actually be put on medications that can help them to live a normal lifespan, a healthy lifespan. There are very few toxicities related to the medications now as opposed to what the drugs involved in the early years. A person really can use or have a normal life if they're on drugs and they continue to stay on those drugs and take those medications as they're supposed to, because ultimately what we want them to do is to keep their viral load for HIV. We want them to keep that suppressed, if you will. So viral suppression simply means that there is little virus in the body that can be detected when testing for HIV, which then means that there's effectively no risk of that person transmitting the virus to someone else. So we are in a whole different era now in terms of HIV that is very promising and very positive as opposed to, again, years gone by.
So, Janet, for somebody like you, and we're speaking with Janet Cleveland, Deputy Division Director over Prevention Programs, CDC Division of HIV AIDS Prevention, you've been in various capacities working on this. You've seen it over the decades. So for you, this has to be exciting that now there are more ways to attack this, more people are on board, and that's why this HIV testing day is so important and really highlighting what the populations that are at high risk need to know and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly, Kate. I cannot tell you how simply ecstatic I am because I have worked in this field for a relatively long time, over two decades. And so I've seen the progress that has been made. We've made enormous progress in the fight against HIV, but there is still just so much more work to do. I think what I would want to say, you know, so much to your audience is that we now have access to the most powerful HIV prevention and treatment tools in the history of this disease. But we still know that HIV is spreading, and we know that it's spreading in certain areas. And so the government and the current administration is actually initiating a plan called Ending the Epidemic, Ending the HIV Epidemic, where we are attempting to try and end this epidemic within the next 10 years. And I think with this initiative, we have the ability with these new prevention tools that I've been talking about to be able to do exactly what we want to do in terms of eliminating this disease, and that is getting people who are at risk for HIV onto PrEP, particularly to those communities that are most impacted, such as African American and Latino MSM and African American and Latino communities in general. But we also have the opportunity for people who are already living with the disease. If they don't know it, we can get them onto the retroviral medications that are going to make a difference so that they can live a long life. And so this is a very exciting time.
Yeah, so for the CDC, the role in this new federal initiative, it sounds like the tools you can provide, the awareness, and getting the testing, right? Is there something we missed in that?
Well, the new initiative it involves four pillars. So first of all, we want to make sure that we're diagnosing all people with HIV as quickly and as early as possible. We want to be able to treat people with HIV as rapidly and as effectively as we possibly can so that, again, we can get them to that sustained viral suppression. We want to prevent and protect people from new HIV infections by using the proven interventions that we have, you know, at hand right now. And, again, that involves PrEP. And I would also be remiss if I did not mention the importance of syringe services programs for persons who inject drugs. Syringe services programs are essential in terms of helping people who inject drugs to have the tools that they need not to acquire HIV. And then lastly, we want to respond quickly to outbreaks that might be happening around the country. So right now, this initiative is concentrated on 57 areas within the United States where we know over 50% of all infections actually exist. And so we're targeting those areas where we know the most HIV is, particularly in during the early phases of this initiative, so that we can begin to make a mark in terms of these areas that we're trying to cover to end the epidemic. I would also want to say that, you know, you had asked me about what else would I say about testing.
Yeah.
You know, I started out by saying testing is you know, it's probably as easy as it's possibly been over the course of the years of this epidemic. People can actually go to HIVtest.org to find free, fast, and confidential HIV testing near them. So I would just encourage your listeners that if they've not been tested for HIV or if they need to be tested on a more regular basis, go to HIVtest.org to find that free and confidential testing.
Oh, that's powerful. All right, Janet Cleveland, Deputy Division Director over these prevention programs in the CDC's Division of HIV AIDS Prevention. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hebo Tea Club. Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we couldn't get enough of him, so Hall of Fame speaker Joe Calloway is with us again, and he's in the middle of his 8th book. He has 7 books on business performance, and it's fascinating. We're talking about really kind of a shift in what we're seeing with companies and what's expected of a CEO and how you have to be certainly reactive, not proactive, because that's all we kept hearing before. And Joe, we were talking about that and what it's like. You almost have to have, in some cases, that startup mentality and take it off campus, so to speak. And have you seen that really work now with some companies?
Well, I tell you, we've only been in business for a year. And so we're still in the initial stages with the people we're working with. I'll tell you something that's interesting to me, and part of it is a function of where we are, which is we're out of Nashville, Tennessee, which is a major healthcare center. And healthcare is one of those businesses that is becoming acutely aware of the need to change. There are hospital CEOs that will have said on the public record, have said, our job used to be to keep the hospital full. Now our job is going to be to try and keep the hospital as empty as possible by taking healthcare services closer to the consumer and doing much, much more in terms of preventive healthcare. And that's a reversal to say we need to get paid for keeping people healthy instead of we will get paid when people get sick. I mean, that's a huge mindset shift with an entire industry. You know, we talked last time about how companies can be entrenched and CEOs can be entrenched in old ways of thinking. But in all fairness, what's encouraging are the number of CEOs and leaders that are saying, yeah, this is real. All this disruption stuff, this is not a fad. This is not a buzzword. What's happening is entire industries are starting to be changed significantly to the point that you could say they truly are being reinvented. Healthcare is one of them.
Yeah, wow, that is so. And just imagine, what is that going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? I mean, for people listening, this affects all of us. Your health, without your health, what do you have?
Yeah, it does. We're putting together a group right now that's going to be an ongoing innovation, kind of a think tank composed of representatives from big, I mean, great big giant healthcare companies and other non-healthcare companies, really, really big corporations, but they are huge consumers of healthcare because they may have 200,000 employees. And one of their biggest concerns and expenses is insurance and health care. And so all we're going to put all these entities together along with then some really brilliant startup minds to say, well, okay, let's go to work. It's kind of like having a giant, you know, the old phrase, the skunk works, which is you take the band of pirates off campus and let them come up with stuff. Well, that's what we're going to be doing in a very process-driven, well, we are starting to do it, in a very process-driven way. And it's pretty juicy. It's pretty exciting stuff.
No kidding. Fascinating. I mentioned the other day when we were speaking about, when we were talking about the book that I read, Becoming a Category of One, and that, I think in some ways, just to me, that kind of really made you stand out even more, really put you on the map, so to speak. Talk about doing a category of one and what that means.
Well, I had been out doing speaking and some consulting and, you know, a lot of workshop stuff with groups, especially leadership groups. And now I pretty much exclusively work just with leadership teams and leadership of companies. But the thing, it finally came to me. I thought, what I'm doing is working with companies on how to differentiate. Ultimately, it's how do we set ourselves apart from the competition? And somehow, and I had no idea what the thought process was, but I came up with this idea of becoming a category of one. And, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I did. that title, it was not only turned out to be a great book title, but I've spoken it. Conventions where they made the theme of the entire 10,000 person convention becoming a category of one. It's just one of those phrases that people go, yes, that's what we want to be. We want to set ourselves apart from the competition so completely that we're not only a leader in the category, they see us as being our own category. So that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, brilliant idea. So I mentioned that you are deep into business. We know that. You just talked about it. You've worked with companies like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, Cadillac, American Express. And it's kind of like children. I don't think you always want to say, well, this is my favorite. I know you have two daughters. This is my favorite daughter because I love each daughter equally. They're all fabulous.
Exactly.
We know you love all your clients. And this is a hard question, but I'm so curious about this because you've had these great opportunities. Do you have a favorite memory, that favorite place where you spoke, something you did, whatever happened?
You know, I kind of do. This is an ongoing client. Some of your listeners will be familiar with, and they can certainly Google them and see who they are. It's a retail division of Genesco, which is an apparel manufacturer. And the company is Journeys, which has retail stores. They sell clothing. Their target market is mostly young people, teens and 20-somethings. And I work on an ongoing basis I've worked with their most senior leadership, but I also work on a regular basis with their newly promoted district managers and area managers. A district manager is a store manager that gets promoted to, now you're in charge not of one store, but 20 stores. And the managers and all the employees. And they are young, and I walked in the room the first time, and I was faced with 20 or 22 young people wearing tattoos with hair color that none of those colors can be found in nature, with parts of their heads shaved. And I thought, oh, man, I may not be the best match for these people. And they were, in every single class since then, the smartest, hardest working, intuitively smart and respectful, and interested and curious. This company knows, and they always promote from within. This company journeys. They know how to grow leaders. And I'm so impressed with them. And every time I work with them, I come away thinking, wait a minute, they're going to pay me for doing that? I should pay them for the learning opportunity that I have in seeing these, and I can call them kids, these kids who are so impressive. But from the very top of their leadership all the way down to the store manager level, they really do a great, great job of developing and growing their leaders.
Wow, how interesting. And I can imagine what that moment was like. I love the way you described that. You thought, no way is this going to work. And how perfect is that? It's like the mentor and the mentee that they're teaching you.
Oh, it's so cool. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they're going to be looking at me. Their eyes are going to roll out of their heads and say, who is this old guy that you've got talking to us? The exact opposite was true. They had so many questions, and I mean smart questions. Really, it's funny, not only by what they were saying in terms of their thoughts on leadership, but the quality of the questions they were asking about leadership. I thought, these people are just powerhouses. And I'm so incredibly impressed with them.
Yep. We have a minute and change left, but did you ever think, Joe, that you would end up doing what you're doing now and have these great opportunities and be in this space when you were growing up through the ranks?
I didn't know such a job existed. I didn't know. Are you kidding? I wanted to be Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News. I wanted to be a rock star. And I would have, if I had had some talent, that's exactly what I would have done.
Wow. But you're a rock star in business, in the business world, certainly. And we are so happy you spent some time with us. Tell us when your book's going to come out.
You know, it will come out pretty quickly. This one's going to have a very quick turnaround. It'll be out by this fall. I'm guessing by September it'll be out. And it'll be available like every other product on the face of planet Earth on Amazon.
I love it. Joe Calloway, Hall of Fame speaker. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.